Welcome everyone, shiur number 62. Vav Mar Cheshvan Tovshin Samech Ches, our first shiur for the year. October 17th, 2007. We are on page, in the regular article sitter, page 72, the fourth of the five halalukas, which we say after Ashrei, and on page... Oh, we don't want that, sorry. This one right here. That's this blue one that's good for you. Nechaim Shlomo Siddur, the one with the lines. Page 35. Line number 4. That's page 35, line number 4. And we begin as follows. Haluka Shiro LaHashem Shir Chodosh. As we mentioned, to recap, the greatest praise in one word of Hashem is, the Gemara tells us, is Hallelujah. And we said the reason for that is because there's Hallel, praise God, and there's the name of Hashem in that word as well. Hallelujah. We begin with Hallelujah once again. This is the Hallelujahs. This is the second to last of all of the 150 chapters of David HaMelech's Tehillim. Hallelujah Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash. We are singing a Shir Chadash. As we just mentioned, we are at 149, number 149. 149 of 150 chapters. And we're saying now a Shir Chodesh. David HaMelech is telling us, we'll be singing a new song. There are only seven times, Rav Schwab Zatzal tells us, seven times that it mentions Shir Chodesh, a new song in the whole entire 150 chapters of Tehillim. The question has to be asked, what new song can we be singing now at the end of Tehillim that we didn't sing already? What is the Shir Chodesh we're discussing here? How are you doing, Zev? Yeah, we started already. So.
We started.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank you. Okay.
That's for you.
Okay, thank you. And the answer to the question is as follows. This kapitel, this chapter of Tehillim, is discussing a time when the Nevi'im, the prophets, who have that ability to see into the future, where they say, the Gemara in Brachas tells us, in Daf Lamed Daled, the Nevi'im say, we have no understanding of that time period. What time period is that? That's Tchias HaMesim. That's Olam Haba. It's a time period of sheer chadash, where it's going to be a new song. A song that nobody understands in this world. Chazal tell us that all the other sheer chadashim, all the other new songs, brought with them afterwards, after the salvation that we had calamities to come afterwards. This time, a Shir Chodesh will have a new song with no calamities, no tragedies. Nothing bad will come out afterwards. It's going to be the time of Olam Haba, Yemos HaMashiach, all the dead will come back to life. And that is the Shir Chodesh. You can see it in the words, and the words over here are in a zachar form, a male form. It says over here, Shiru LaHashem Shir Chodesh. Shekol HaShiras She'avru Kriyas B'Loshen Nekeva. All of the other songs were Loshen Nekeva. Just like a lady, Chazal continues to tell us, just like the lady gives birth. So we had the Yeshua, the salvation. But unfortunately, sometimes we had the tragedies came afterwards as well. This shir, Yemos HaMashiach, and that's what we're discussing here in this chapter, is a shir, a song of only good to come. And we praise Hashem, Tehilosoi, line number 5, Tehilosoi, Bikal Chasidim, his praise in the congregation, of the righteous, the pious ones. Ismach, line number six. Ismach Yisrael ba'Yisov, b'nei Tzion yagilu b'malkom. Yihalalu shemoi b'mochol, we will praise God's name. V'soy v'chino, with different instruments, in a circle. Yizamruloi, we'll sing to him. Ki roitza Hashem ba'amoi. Of all the nations of the world, God chooses us. Yifor ha'novim b'Yeshua. Yalzu chasidim b'chavoid. And now this is where we're getting to. How are you doing, Steve? Please come.
Sorry.
That's fine. And this is what we're going to spend some more time on tonight. They will elevate God in their throats. A double-edged sword biyodam in their hand. What is this talking about? We will take revenge bagoyim from those nations of the world who attacked us, who throughout the generations they persecuted us. And what will happen to these people? Lesser malchei mizikim. They will be chained up. Lasa is ben mishpat kosuv, that God will take out the justice, the mishpat. Hadarhu l'chol chasidav haluka. And that, when God brings out the nekama, the revenge, that will be the splendor of all his devout ones. And we end haluka. How do we bring this about? How do we bring this salvation to ourselves? How do we protect ourselves? And that is basically what we'll be discussing tonight. 290 years after the Melech, David HaMelech, after King David wrote this, his descendant, Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, the King Chizkiyahu, was attacked by Sanherib. There was one time during this war, this battle, where someone, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, by the name of Shavna, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he joined, however, he wanted to join Sanherib's side. And he wrote, he sent over an arrow, he shot a letter over. No email those days. And he told him...
Airmail,
that's right. That's original. That's right. I just ordered something. He told me, yeah, sure, 2 to 3 weeks. I think like 2 to 3 weeks in this generation. Yeah, I don't know. And the letter said, I am with you, Sanherib. Me and my people. However, Chizkiyahu is against you. And Chizkiyahu was very, very scared. He was concerned that perhaps Hashem will be with Shavna and the multitude of Jews that are with him. Shavna gave a shear to thousands of people. What happened was Hashem sent down the Malach. They opened the gates for Shavna to go out to Sanherib. The Malach, I think it was Gavriel, he pushed him out. The gates slammed behind him and no one else was able to get out. So they said to him, where's everybody else? He had nothing to say. They were stuck inside. He said to him, you're making a fool of us. They took him and they tortured him. That was his end. The battle wasn't over yet though. Sanherib, when he was traveling a 10 days journey, it took one day to reach his destination to attack Yerushalayim, to attack Jerusalem. He built himself a tower. He took these different sheets and piled them up until he sees above the walls of Yerushalayim. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Hei tells us, he looked over and he said, this is the city of Jerusalem that I had to conquer, all these other cities, all these other countries. This is the city I have to conquer. This is nothing. This is going to be an ease. And he mocked God's land. And his soldiers said to him, let's attack now. And he said, no, what? Listen, it's not a big deal. We'll conquer them tomorrow. We have a long journey, a long travel. Go to sleep. We'll take care of them tomorrow. And he made a major mistake. Because that night was the last opportunity for him to have victory. Why was that? Because years earlier, going back now, around 300 years earlier, where Chizkiyahu's ancestor, David HaMelech, was running away from his father-in-law, Melech Shaul HaMelech, and he passed by a city called Nov. The city of Nov, as we all know, was the city where the Kohanim, they lived there. And we're not going to get into the whole story, but basically David HaMelech, to some degree, was responsible for the death of the whole entire city. Almost all the Kohanim were destroyed. The wrath of the destruction of this entire city was hanging over Klal Yisrael, the whole entire Jewish nation, for over 300 years, around 300 years. Down to this time, when Sanherib came along, and if he would have attacked that day, which what day was that? That was Erev Pesach. He would have destroyed them. Chas v'shalom. Why? Why specifically that day? Because that day was the day we bring the Korban Pesach. Who sacrifices the Korban? Kohanim. So the wrath was still boiling from all the blood of the Kohanim that was spilled. And all those generations that passed, Hashem said, this is the last, I will let them go. The enemies will have the chance until now. So he mocked Yerushalayim. And he said, no reason to attack them tonight. We'll destroy them tomorrow. How many soldiers did he bring with him? So the Gemara elaborates all these different discussions. The Gemara says 185,000 soldiers. And the Gemara says, no, it wasn't 185,000 soldiers. It was 185,000 officers of all the soldiers. Over 3 million, they said, came to attack Yerushalayim. Came to attack the land, the city of Eretz Yisrael. The story is told when the king came back from his war, victorious, and he was met by someone from the town, and the person greeted the king, and the king was very happy, he won, and the king was told by this person, you won the battle, but the war is still on. What was he referring to? He was referring to a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that every single day there's a Yetzirah which lies there in ambush. That evil inclination attacks the person every single day and is thinking and planning when the person goes to sleep at night. He's up late at night with those X's, nose and crosswords and everything, drawing all the plans to attack the person. There's one gersa, one expression in the Gemara that says he wants to kill him. The Yetzirah wants to kill the person. He gets stronger and stronger every single day. And many times, what will he do? He'll allow the person to go learn. That's a big step already. To go daven, to go do chesed. The person thinks, I'm in charge. Right? I'm doing fine. What happens when a person thinks like that? As soon as he has these thoughts, okay, I'm doing fine, I'm doing my mitzvahs. As soon as a person puts his guard down, he's vulnerable and comes along that uppercut. And that's exactly what the Yetzer Hara wants. The Yetzer Hara lies there and plans and plans, and he doesn't stop until a person dies. And what is the way to attack this Yetzer Hara? So, if a person wants to understand how a car works, he goes to the mechanic. And the mechanic, who, if he wants to know how the car works, what does he do? He takes it apart. Gets a car, takes it apart from scratch. I once, years ago, I don't know if I should be recorded here. So, I try to help people sometimes if I see the tefillin's not in the right spot. So, years ago, you know, I was trying to help someone, and made it a little looser, bigger. I came to a situation, I opened the whole thing, I had no idea where I was going. I was lost. It's like those, you know, lahavdil, it's like those Rubik's Cubes. You want to get the right color, so you take off the pieces, then like you can't get it back on. And then your other sibling says, oh, what are you doing? That's how you play, you know. It's... So I was stuck with the tefillin. I had to go to the tefillin store, and I said, listen, please help me out, you know. And it's actually very simple. But if a person wants to know, become an expert with it, he takes apart that car, and he puts it back together. Who's the expert over here? Who's the boss? Who's in charge? How do we fight this Yetzer Hara? So the Gemara in Kedushin tells us, Barasa Yetzer Hara, Barasa Tara Tavlin. I created Yetzer Hara. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I took apart everything. I took apart the car, the Rubik's Cube. I know how to make the tefillin. And the antidote is the Torah, the Limud HaTorah. The only way to conquer the Yetzer Hara, who is constantly planning, is through Limud HaTorah. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine showed me a magazine with a picture where you don't want to see this person's face. He's a person who is not our friend. Swastikas and all those type of things. He said to me, this person fought in World War II against them. He was thrown into the army, in the Russian army, to kill them. And when he sees things like this, he gets very upset. And he said to me, they don't sleep. We sleep and they plan. They have a goal and they want to accomplish it. And they want to kill us. That's it. That's it. Nothing else. And this is a man who saw it. And when he sees these magazine articles popping up, it eats him inside. And he wants to take a machine gun like he used to have, and he wants to use it. A 1,000 miles, the soldiers of Sancheiriv, they ranged 1,000 miles approximately. That's here to, I think, a little past Chicago, someone explained to me. Over 3 million people, we said. Soldiers. Where was the king? Where was the Navi? They're coming to be attacked. The Medrash in Eicha tells us as follows. We say in the Pasuk, in the Tehillim that we're saying now, Yalzu chasidim b'chovoy diranu amish kevoyso. He says as follows. Mishkevoysim are their beds. The chasidim will rejoice b'chovoy, with honor, diranu amish kevoyso, while they're in their beds. Chizkiyahu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shomer Chizkiyahu LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani, I, Ein Bi Koyach, I have no strength, Loi laharoig, not to kill. Veloi lirdoif, not to run after. This was 3 days after he got sick. He got cured from his sickness. Very ill, deathly ill. Veloi loi mashira, I have no strength to say shira, to say praise. Elani yoshon amitosi, I will go to sleep in my bed. Va'ata, you Hashem. Oisa, you'll do the battle, you'll wage war. Hashem said back, Ani, Oise, I will do it. Ayin Shom. Says, look over there for the rest of this Medrash. Where was he? Here the Medrash is saying that he wasn't at the battlefront. Chazal tell us that at the time when they were being attacked, Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda was to be found in the Beis Medrash. And he was learning. Because he knew that in order to attack and to fight the enemy, Hakol Kol Yaakov Hayadayim Yedei Esav, it's the voice of Yaakov and the hands of Esav, said the Pasuk will end in a few weeks, Mitzvah Hashem. When Yaakov came to his father Yitzchak to get the brachas, so he was told, Yitzchak said, you sound like Yaakov, but you feel like Esav. Raymois Kelbe Groinom, we're saying this to Hillam. Line number 10. Raymois Kelbe Groinom. We're going to elevate our vocal cords to God. Bechere Pipiois Vyodom, and a double edged sword are in our hand. What kind of sword is this? Send the Gvul Binyamin. Kishiyasol Yehegu Begroinom Betoiro. When Klal Yisrael, when the Jews will toil in the words of Torah, v'lo yisrashlu mimeno, and we will not become weak from it. Oz v'chere pipiyos biyodom, then we will have the sword biyodom in our hand. How do we fight? How do we attack? I'm sure many of us have had the thought. We've been to Israel in the past. And we look down at the Kaisel, up over there, near Eish HaTorah, we look down, right? And there's something glaring at us on a sunny day, right in our face. And it hurts us. And we say it doesn't belong there. And we say, just give me the bazooka and I'll shoot it. And we all know what we're talking about. That gold cover. We say it doesn't belong there, that's not the right place for it. There's no place for that. What's the bazooka? How do we destroy it? Kishi Yisrael Yehegu Begroinom. When the Klal Yisrael, when the Jews toil in the Torah, with what? They groin them with their throat. V'lo Yisrash L'mimenu, like we just said. And we don't become weak from it. We don't become lazy. We make sure we have a constant day after day after day battle to fight the Yetzahara, because he's not going to sleep. And he's still planning. And he says, you know what? I lost today, but tomorrow I'll get him. I let him learn something today, but tomorrow I'll make sure he doesn't learn. I let him do some mitzvahs, but tomorrow I won't let him do it. I have a new idea. There's always something new coming out. And that's what the Pasuk says. Ba'al charbecha tichye, that Esau will live by the sword. But for us, it's Hakol Kol Yaakov. And when we have the Kol Kol Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov, is the Torah, is the Tefillah, then Esav has no power. The enemy has no power. We'll learn the Pasuk in the Parashah in a few weeks, and it says over there, that after Yosef HaTzadik was born, Yaakov felt confident, it's time to go back now to his parents, to his father. He's going to leave the house of Lavan. And Chazal tell us, our sages tell us, the whole discussion, that Esau is like cash, straw. Yaakov had his son, Yosef, who was the fire to put out the straw, the flame. He was confident to go back and attack. And if he meets up to Esav, he'll conquer. I heard once from Avraham Shor Shlita, he said over the name of the certain Svarim, Kash, straw, Kuf Shin, Kino and Sinna, Kino and Sinna. Kino, jealousy, Sinna, hatred. What gives Esav his power? What gives the enemy the power? It's the Kash. It's the Kina and Sinna. We, I'll tell you a secret, we run the world. Our actions that we do affect everything in the world. It's the Kina. Yeah, light that one. Let there be light. That was a few weeks ago. It's the Kina and the Sinna. God forbid, when we have it, it feeds the enemy's power. What's the antidote to everything? Barasa Yitzhahara, Barasa Torah Tavlin. I created the Yitzhahara. The Yitzhahara, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, we said, is constantly trying to kill us. The Gemara says we should not trust in ourselves even until the last day we die. Because until a person is dead, he's after the person. So what did Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda do? He took a sword. And earlier on, he stuck that sword into the door. He stuck it in there. And he said, if one does not come to learn Torah, this sword will meet that person. I haven't done that yet. If you want to get a good crowd, I don't know, maybe you have to do it. Baruch Hashem, we look like the Siyat Shmaya. Hashem should help, continue to help. No matter what building we'll be in, we should continue to have Torah learning. It should be ultimately in Yerushalayim, Yikarov. The question is asked, and I heard the answer from a Shalom Kamenetsky Shlita. Where is there a death penalty for not coming to learn? You won't find it anywhere. Eventually, the person's losing out on everything in life, because learning is everything. It's the greatest mitzvah. For you. Hope they didn't hear me. And the answer is, he gave, is that when a melech, a king, when he orders something, if one defies the word of the king, it's off, as he said. The king says it, we have to listen. Was he successful? Was Chizkiyahu successful? Was the melech, was the king successful? The Gemara in Sanhedrin relates that the children, the little children, no matter where they were, from north to south, from east to west, all the every single place in Eretz Yisrael, they all knew, the men, the women, the children, the laws of Tumah and Tahara, the difficult laws of purity and impurity. So Sancheyev is coming along. He wants to destroy us. And the wrath is still boiling from the blood of the Kohanim. And he says, it's not a big deal, we'll take care of them tomorrow. Chazal tells us that Chizkiyahu, another Medrash tells us that Chizkiyahu was learning in the Beis Medrash at that time. And the Koyach HaTorah, the power of the Torah, is what saved him. Saved him and saved Klal Yisrael. And what happened that night? They all went to sleep. And the different opinions in the Gemara, how it happened. And I want to preface by telling you something, that if you hear these type of stories that are so impossible for the mind to comprehend, we sometimes just shrug it off and go on with everyday life and like nothing ever happened. And who is that? Why do we think like this? Because the Gemara tells us that the Yetzer Hara is constantly attacking us. and making sure we don't believe these stories. What did Gemara tell us? Different opinions. Malach Gabriel was waiting, Mishesh May Bereshis, sharpening his sword to come down and to wipe them all out. 185,000, whether it was 3 million, the point was the Maral and Ben Yoyada, they explained they were a mighty, powerful army. One opinion says in the Gemara, he clapped his hands and he killed them all. Once again, he clapped his hands and he killed every single one of those soldiers, according to one opinion, text 5. Another opinion says he opened up their ears. He put tubes in their ears. And they heard the chayos, the ministering angels singing praise to God, and they died. They couldn't take it. And another opinion says they blew up in their nostrils. This is the Malach Gabriel. They all wiped out. Where was all the F-14s, the tanks, the fighter jets, the strategy? What took place here? Where is it all? Hakol kol Yaakov ha'idayim ideyesov. Chizkiyo strengthen Klal Yisrael with Limud HaTorah. If we want to survive, if we want to attack, it's only through Limud HaTorah. We just went through a time period. We had Elul, and before Elul we had the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av. Then Elul, preparation for the Day of Judgment, Yom Kippur. Hope you all had a wonderful Yontif, Sukkot, and everything. A little time off. From now until Pesach, especially this year, and next month, it's a long time. What is our job? What should we be focusing on? Chazal tells us, the Gemara tells us, La'ivra Laila Ella Girsa. Everything was created for a reason. I spent 1 day in the zoo. A lot of walking, let me tell you. Especially when you have little kids on your back. And you see, everything, this, the animal, this hippopotamus eats this type of food, and this animal does this and that, and everything. Everything's there for a reason. What's the reason for the night? La'ivra Laila Ella Lagirsa. Nighttime was created for one reason, tells us the Gemara. Lagirsa, to learn Torah. The person finished his day at work, he has to learn now. But it's not only that. It's not only the fact that he has to learn. It's his protection. It's his weapon. The Gemara says over there, the next morning they woke up. 5 people survived. Sancheirif, his 2 sons, according to this opinion in the Gemara. Nebuchadnezzar, you know that name. And the Vazadron. Who eventually, after all the blood he spilled, he ran away and he became a righteous Jew, converted. What about Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar also was spared. Sancheirib and his 2 sons. The Gemara relates, won't go into too much detail, a figure of a person, an old man, greets Sancheirib. He says to him, "How you can go home? What are you going to answer to all the mothers?" You know, Bush is going through this right now. Of all those people who died, where are the children? Where are the sons? Sancheirib was nervous. He didn't know what to do. This old man told him, "Go get me a pair of scissors. I'll give you a haircut. They won't recognize you." He didn't know what to do. He goes into this little house over there. He sees 2 people pressing kernels, cleaning them out with a press. These were malachim, these were angels. They told him, oh, you want scissors? Sure. Give us a hand first a little. He was doing very physically difficult labor. This is a part of his punishment. By the time he finished, it was nightfall. And he didn't go to learn. Comes back to the person with the scissors. Says, I can't see too much now. I need a torch. Gets a torch. Accidentally, he singes. He burns part of his beard. The person tells him, okay, I'll take care of that also. Gives him a haircut. Cuts off his beard. It was an embarrassment. If he had the beard, to have to not cut it off. This is all part of a punishment. He's getting punished here. I'm saying, going through this very quickly. And then at the end, he has a new hairstyle. He thinks they won't recognize him. He finds a plank from last week's parsha. What was last week's parsha? Parsha's Noach. So it fits in this discussion here. It's over there. He finds a plank for Noach's teva. And he says, God of the Jews, if you allow me to wage war again and be victorious, I will offer my two sons to you as a sacrifice. Now, what's the first thing a person has to do before he opens his mouth? Let's make sure he was listening. A friend of mine told me a story that his father actually was giving a ride to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's Zatzal. And while they're driving, there was a little silence in the car, and all of a sudden, click, the tape ended. He was recording the conversation. The whole entire conversation he had with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Now, he never asked permission first. So this person was silent, and Rav Yaakov told him, don't worry. I've never said anything and regretted it. I think it runs a little in the family. Back to where we're holding here. His two sons hurt him, and they killed him. Son Chayev is over. Lasois nekom bagoyim, line number 11. Teicheches balumim. In the future, in Olam Haba, Yemoitz Mashiach, all those Nazis and all those murderers who spilled Jewish blood throughout the generations, one hanging will do the job. Is that appropriate? For all the blood, all the murders they committed? No. Chazal tells us over here, Lasa isne koma bagoyim, God will take revenge. And the righteous will come back alive. And we will see it. I saw brought down the name of my Rebbeim, Reb Revda, Shlita. And he says, why is it? He explains like this. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that David HaMelech, Melech had to come from David HaMelech because he has in him Zera Avraham. He comes from Avraham Avinu. He also comes from Rus. Where does Rus come from? Moab. Avraham is Chesed. We all know that. Moav is Din. And the Melech needs both. A Melech that says, don't worry about it. Don't do any, don't attack, let them go, don't punish. That's not a good king. Okay, a Melech that's too tough, it's not good either. He has to be of both. Moav did not greet us with Lachem and Mayim. They did not greet us. They attacked us. to some degree, one commentary explains that they didn't greet us with a nice smile. We have to have this ability of punishment. And that's why the Melech David and all the descendants have inside of them, both from David Melech and both from Avram Avinu and both from Rus. From Avram Chesed and Rus Amoivio, from Moab, is achzorius, this cruelty. And to that understanding, excuse me, we'll end tonight. Hodor hu l'chol chasidov. This is the splendor l'chol chasidov haluka, for all his pious ones. What do we learn tonight? Roim ha'iskel b'groinom b'cher pibias b'yodom la'asayis nekom b'goyim t'cheches balumim. Hashem will take Nikama when Shirul Hashem Shechadash Lasid Lava in the future. What's our job? As we started before, it was Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkis. Now we have a long stretch until Pesach. We have Chanukah between, we have Shabbos every single week. So the nights are getting shorter and shorter. We're switching the clock soon. The emphasis of this time, on all times especially, is to take the reason why night was created, and to learn Torah. So that when the Yetzirah thinks he's planning with his ex's nose and drawing his plan sheet, we'll be protected with the Kaicha Torah. Thank you.